Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're pressing record this time.
When was that?
That was just before we left to go to Edinburgh. We recorded an amazing episode. And then you just
come straight off stage, didn't I?
Oh, yes.
And then Guildford, was it?
And then you were like, I haven't pressed record.
No, it wasn't Guildford, it was Norwich.
And then it was time for me to go on stage, like, all right, well, that's that done.
And then we made up for it by doing so much podcasting up in Edinburgh.
Yeah, we did.
We had the right intentions, turned up with the Zoom, you know, the travel kit, and it just sat there. I think there was an inch layer of dust on it when we went to pack it back up again a month later.
Well, shall we make up for it now?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, a podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Mr. Danny Ward.
Here we are then.
Here we are, Danny Ward.
So the
this is the Edinburgh Roundup.
Yeah, at one point it was going to be the, you know, we had the intro to Edinburgh, wasn't it? And then it was going to be like, you know, a couple of days in.
Yeah.
Week one wrap up, week two wrap up, Gareth's birthday podcast.
Yeah.
Finally, we are back in London.
It was just overwhelming. I think that was the craziest Edinburgh I've ever had, just busy wise, everything. But like physically busy, emotionally busy.
I think we underestimated, or maybe overestimated, how much time we'd have to do podcasts. Remember that one day we said we were going to do it, and I said I came and said I'd give you £50 if we could do it tomorrow.
Brilliant.
You forget. I mean, you just do forget, and it's only an arts festival. We've got to keep everything in perspective, but you do forget how absolutely knackering it is.
Yeah, crikey. And I don't even party anymore. I don't drink. I don't do any of that. I have no idea how these people go out drinking and then get up, hungover, do their shows. I can't.
I was speaking to that chap. I forget his name. And he said that he was, the night before, he'd been out drinking in the Brooks Bar till 5 a.m. And then he was walking home and then he saw a bus. I think he was going to Leith. And he jumped on this bus, fell asleep, woke up, bus was at the end of its line, and then he walked back to his hotel, and by the time he got to his hotel it was 7 a.m. and they were just serving breakfast. So then he ate his breakfast, went to sleep for 4 hours, got up and went and watched a play at midday. And he was back on it when we were hanging out.
Respect.
Yeah,
I did. Respect.
Yeah.
Utmost respect. So, I mean, because we haven't covered anything yet from the festival, I just don't know where to... Well, I know where we... Yeah, I do know where we can start.
Well, we'll start at the end, which of course is the Victoria Wood Award presented to Gareth.
Yeah.
And the show for Gareth Richards at the Edinburgh Comedy Awards.
And the Ish Awards.
And also the Insert Sponsor Here Awards panel prize as well.
So both are panel prizes. Do you know, I don't really know how to explain, because the people listening probably don't know what that means.
Well, they have awards for best act, you know, best show,
best show, maybe, best, you know, best newcomer,
and then they have what's known as a panel prize, which is sort of given out to something that they feel is fitting of a spirit of the fringe.
Mm.
And Gareth's show got that, so that was
yeah.
And also, they rebranded this year because the Comedy Awards lost their sponsor, Dave pulled out. So they weren't going to do them, were they? Which is why the other awards sort of were established,
yeah,
which were a massive success as well. But then they managed to, last minute, get get sponsorship from Sky, from another company, and the Victoria Woods Foundation.
Yeah.
So the Victoria Woods Foundation now sponsor what was previously known as the Panel Prize.
Yeah.
Now the Victoria Woods Award, which sort of recognises community, maybe the spirit of the fringe, and she was a keen advocate of supporting, you know, supporting comedy.
Yeah. It's just so cool that, I mean, it's bittersweet because obviously I'd rather we didn't need to do it.
No, of course.
But just knowing that Gareth's name is in the history books now, yeah, as the first, yeah, Victoria, and Gareth was at the musical committee, like it.
It was a blinding finish to what was an astonishing run. We had 2,500 flyers printed for Gareth's show, and I think 2,500 flyers have just gone in the recycling.
Sorry,
we
should have
probably, yeah, we should have probably given them out. People might like to have kept one for prosperity. Now we thought about it, the other idea that Dave Chappell had was that we should have got everyone to sign a poster, but we can only do so much, right?
I know, it's just too late when he came up with the idea. Everyone, we've done most of the shows.
Sort of, we got some nice press, like mad places like the Daily Express and the Sunday Mail, you know, sort of covered it. And then there was a thing in the list, and then like Dara Brian came and did it, Frank Skinner came and did it, Jack Whitehall came and did it. So it sort of it just got out of control. It sold out every day,
literally rammed
on every seat, every single day. Weekends turning away as many people who, you know.
I tell you what, good problem to have,
mm-hmm,
but I did not enjoy that aspect of people queuing up for ages, and then they get to me and it's literally no one else could fit in the room, and I had to tell them, and I just felt awful every day. But, you know.
There's so many seats. What's that?
So many people, when I had to turn them away, said, can we give some money anyway? Isn't that...
Well, people were stopping us in the street to give us money, weren't they?
Yeah.
Saying we couldn't make it to the show. Can I just give you some money for Gareth's trust fund?
So lovely. And I, at the end of my show, I always plugged Gareth's show. And so many people, when I was, you know, at the end, as people walking out, they were saying, here's £10, here's £20. Put that in Gareth's bucket.
Do you remember that text message I sent you at the beginning, you know, when we were sorting it out? And I said I had a £20,000. In my head is the amount to raise.
Yeah, which was like, we had no, you had no idea. Literally, that could have been pie in the sky.
It could have been 10% of that, 1,000 times that, but it just £20,000 just seemed a number, along with the £5,000 that came from the Victoria Wood Foundation.
Yeah.
It took us to, 21,000. And that's, we still haven't, so it's funny, isn't it? That synergy, if you like.
Yeah.
That we you know, actually that money took us over to the 20,000. And actually now we've still got to count the last 2 days' takings,
yeah,
which will probably be something like 1,800 maybe. So, you know, it looks like we're good chance of 25,000 quid having been raised.
And there's a, we set up a GoFundMe, no, what's the, Just Giving,
yeah,
a Just Giving page. And people have been giving to that as well, because so many people asked, they said, we can't make it to Edinburgh, but we still like to give.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, £1,000, this seemed like quite a lot per day to take out of the room. But then what we, you know, and then when we sort of started seeing a daily take, I sort of put that, okay, well, £10,000 is great. And then the money started going up, and I thought, okay, well, £15,000. And then when we won the prize fund, it got to that 20, right? Which is just sort of great. But what we realised, and it was, I think, Jojo Sutherland here can take a lot of credit, James Cook can take a lot of credit, is that there are ways of, you know, speaking to the audience at the end in what's known as the bucket speech, that basically we saw the money go up 25%. And that was, you know, through this basically saying, can we have £20 each, please?
Yeah.
And obviously not everyone can afford £20. But what it did mean is maybe if you were going to give five, you might give 10.
Yeah.
And once we twigged that, our daily takes went up from around about £650, £700.
Yeah.
To sort of closer to 1,000 on a daily basis.
Absolutely phenomenal.
So we're really glad and thankful to those people who had the nuts really to ask for £20 ahead.
So many people to thank as well, like Hills Jago and Josh Jones, when helping with the show running, when the few days that I couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, the beauty was is that Hills Jago, who we've known for years and years, then like the day that Stuart Lee came on, did it. She threw the bucket into his hands. So, I mean, not that he wouldn't maybe have done it anyway, but he might not have thought to do it.
No.
But basically, Stuart Lee held the bucket on the way out. And, you know,
that was the first day we broke.
That was the first day we broke £1,000. Because I think everyone was very keen to sort of put some.
No one's putting in coins when Stuart Lee's holding the bucket.
Yeah, no one's putting coins into Stuart Lee's bucket.
Wow.
Sounds like a euphemism. So the whole thing was a galloping success, really. And, you know, it's a shame we did have to do it, but it was everyone came together.
Yeah.
In the spirit of Gareth. And
I don't think I've cried so much in any period of my life, but everyone just kept setting me off.
Yeah.
So many people wanted to come and perform, and lots of people wanted to perform. We couldn't squeeze them in, but they probably didn't pick that up, did it?
Frickers.
But we're back
in East London now. You can tell
the acts that were closest to Gareth. They would tell stories about Gareth. They would tell some of Gareth's jokes, and it just kept setting me off all the time. Rob Orton, Paul F. Taylor, Nick Helm, and David Trent. They performed one of Gareth's songs, which was beautiful.
But it wasn't just about raising money, was it? It was about giving people a fringe experience they wouldn't forget. In the name of Gareth, and whether that be seeing Nick and David
Frank Skinner in a small venue,
Frank Skinner this close to you, or you know, some big comedy names, or just amazing comedians you hadn't heard of, smashing the room.
So many people kept coming back every day because they knew it was going to be a good show, and they knew the money was going to a good cause. So thank you to everyone that helped and was involved or came to watch the shows. It's just I still need to. It's hard to take it all in.
Yeah, it was funny because after we received the award on behalf of Gareth, we were the sort of a press junket, wasn't it? So I got to fill a few ambitions. I got to say to a newspaper man, a reporter, off the record.
Yeah.
So we'd given him loads of stuff, and I said, well, off the record. And I got to say that, which is probably might never get to say that again.
So something I wasn't expecting was we got sort of taken off to do an interview.
Yeah, went live on BBC News.
And they went, you're live on BBC News in 4 minutes. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah. And do you remember, we were holding the award, but the night before, we'd been out for curry, hadn't we? And I'm a mucky pup. And it was on the way to the award ceremony, wasn't it? I realised that my fingernails were yellow.
You said that to me, and I went, no one's going to notice that. And then they kept saying, higher with the award, higher with the award.
I was thinking, oh God, I hope they can't see my yellow fingernails.
And can we also say that you've actually got a Donald Trump tattoo
also
on your arm?
I see Luke McQueen.
Which we didn't know.
Got a Donald Trump tattoo.
Luke McQueen show.
Yeah, Luke McQueen show. Well, he put a Donald Trump tattoo on someone, so he just tested it on me basically. And so I had a t-shirt on. So my sister sent me like this, and she'd closed in on it and circled it with a question mark. So silly. But it was it was a very moving day, and you know, it all went well. So there's to Gareth.
Yeah, and we've got a lovely award, which we're going to send off to Gareth's
kids. Yep, it is currently, I think, in Banbury. Because obviously we flew back because the trains were on the fritz. Yep. So,
friend of the podcast, Matt Bragg.
Matt Bragg had to bring back some pieces.
Because he was driving.
Yeah, the mint tea bags. And,
you're so funny. You just can't.
It's not what not.
Yeah, I know. You were like, these are good Persil tabs. Let's get them.
Yeah, bought the Persil tabs back. But what's the point? That's a waste.
Six
or seven washes worth of washes. That's over a month's worth of. Someone said to you, do you want a month's worth of washing tabs?
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Waste not, want not, champ. And I bought them tea bags back as well. So it's somewhere in Banbury. So we'll have to get that to the boys, to Gareth's sons at some point.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that we'll get that sorted.
So many other things.
Well, yeah,
happened.
Let's talk about the others. I mean, it's not like I've got loads and loads of really funny stories, because it was just like, you know, working really, really hard, wasn't it?
But I got heckled by a baby again.
You got heckled by a baby again.
Same room, same time as last year. So the last year, so I don't mind people. People are quite nice, because quite online when I post a video, a lot of people were like, why did you bring a baby to a gig? It's like, it's during the day, it's in the afternoon, people want to come, they've got a baby, I don't mind. But most of them are pretty good at, if the baby was making touch noise, they just left. That's, you know, it's very respectful. Last year, I had a baby. I was just about, I literally just said in my set, going into a joke, I said, you get a lot of heckles in comedy. And then I went, and I was about to tell one, and then this baby went, like that. And it was just perfect timing, right? And that was last year. And that the mother of that baby actually came in this year. And she sort of told me that she was the mother of the baby. And she's looking forward to sort of keeping the video and showing her kid when she's a bit older.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I got heckled by another baby. This This time I was just literally about to, I've got a joke where I mime a blowjob. It's, you know, it's all in taste. I was just about to do it and the baby went, uh-oh, like that, like proper baby.
As it should. Yeah.
So funny. I don't know why that keeps happening to me. How many dogs did you play to this year? I played to 3 separate dogs.
Did you really?
Yeah, one in the front row.
No dogs. I don't even know if dogs were allowed in the Banshee Labyrinth.
I don't think dogs were allowed in our one, but they were there.
No one's sort of that bothered during the day, are they?
No, I don't think so.
No dogs. Played to a man asleep, though, on the first Wednesday. So that first week, my numbers were slightly low. And during just a Tuesday and a Wednesday, there was other things going on the same street at the same time.
What was that then?
Well, yeah.
Award-winning show.
A multi-award-winning show. Yeah. So there was 6 people on this Wednesday, right?
Okay.
I'm going to say it. Let's just...
Yeah, it happens.
It happens, right? The numbers sort of steady, but this Wednesday, first Wednesday.
Black Wednesday, they call it.
There was 6 in. And I was like, uh-oh. I said, look, guys, here's the thing. We've got 2 choices here. We can do the show. We can endure the show. Or I can take you all to the bar, buy you all a drink, and we'll just have a chat for 30 minutes. What do you want to do? You tell me what you want to do. This bloke, do the show. Okay.
I like your spirit.
We're going to do the show. Yeah? 30 minutes in. He's sound asleep. Right. Sound asleep, mate. Right. Now, and I said, I can't believe this. He's asked to do the show, and then he's fallen sound asleep. To the point where at the end of the show, when everyone had left, he was still asleep in the room. So I said to Richie, who's the technician at Banshee, I said, mate, I can't. My ego, unfortunately, won't allow me to just wake him up after falling asleep in my show. He goes, oh, I'll do it. Anyway, about 10 minutes later, he comes up to me, this bloke, while I was just in the bar, and he gives me £10.
Oh.
And he goes, what I did see of it was good.
Yeah.
So he gave me more than what the people who actually watched the show gave me. So, you know, in this life, Mark, you've got to be resilient. You've got to turn negatives into positives, yeah?
Yeah.
Can't be preaching resilience all year and then not do it myself. So I thought, right, this has got to change.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I had someone fall asleep in a gig in the same venue. Different room, but same venue. Just completely Sparko out. Happens, because people, if you have an early afternoon show, people have been out drinking all night.
He didn't, I'd like to say this because he was hungover or he was, that wasn't it. He was just...
What? Bored?
He was just, you know the thing about the Banshee Avenue Cinema Room is it's got benches, it's soft seats.
And it's warm.
Actually really comfortable. And I guess it is quite warm, so, you know. And I'm quite soporific.
I mean, I had lovely audience members, but this one woman, as I was leaving, had a really lovely show. And then, as I was leaving, she went, I couldn't hear you at the back, like that. I thought, sorry. And she went, the aircon was too loud. I was like, oh, complain about the aircon. That's the first.
Yeah.
And then as she walked past, she went, and you mumble. And walked out. I was like, just there's someone at the bar, just ask him to turn the aircon down. Ask me to put, because another gig where it was a bit like they couldn't quite hear at the back, someone just said, can you just turn it up a bit? I just want to turn it up a bit.
Turn up a bit.
Like, I understand if you're watching a show and you can't really hear, then I also understand that
if you've spent £20 on a ticket, you're well in your rights.
Yeah.
If you actually haven't spent any money, you're more than welcome to, you know.
Yeah.
But this is the thing.
You didn't put any money in the bucket.
No, there you go. I mean, it's a cost of living crisis. But it is interesting the fact that you do pay on the way out. And obviously, most people are very generous, but it does stick in the craw if you see someone have a really, really good show and then walk out and just put £1.40 in for two people. Haven't spent £6 each on a pint. But you know me, Mark. Nam-myoho, renge-kyo, nam-myoho, renge-kyo.
Ups and downs, ups and downs.
And anyway, after that bloke fell asleep on that Wednesday, I thought, right, I need to be playing to people who really want to see me. There needs to be excitement in the room, right? Because on those busy days, it's just, you know what it can be like in that room. And it's quite, you're constantly sort of having to shift your expectations.
Well, performance-wise, I don't know if people sort of know, but like when you have to change how you perform a show depending on who's in or how many people are in, the energy in the room. Yeah. So it's very different. It's a very different show playing to a full room of people who are excited.
Yeah.
Because another thing is, so I'd say the show. I'm very lucky and I was pretty busy for the whole thing. And there is an energy in the room when all the seats are taken where the audience are like, this is going to be good. This is exciting because everyone's here. And I had one midweek show where, and I can't complain, it was still good numbers, but it was the first time where the front row, they hadn't been filled up straight away. Normally people are pretty good. And so everyone in the room can see there's empty seats at the front. And it was the hardest gig to get going. And I think psychologically, when you can see empty seats, you're just not as excited.
Of course you're not. Of course you're not. And also, I think I was talking to Will Myers about this. We've talked about it on the podcast. If the audience is up there and at a 10, you can perform at 12.
Mm.
But you can only really perform two above it.
Yeah.
So if the audience is at a 3, you can't be doing an 8.
No.
Because it just looks weird.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you can only perform at a 5.
Yeah.
So it's all that ever depreciating sort of
And I know
benefit.
Your show was great because I saw it in preview. I couldn't see it in Edinburgh because obviously it was the same time as Gareth's show. But your show's great because we previewed in front of busy rooms. But if that one day when there was only 6, you're looking around and going, oh, this isn't going to be very good, even though it is a great show.
So it's about playing to people who want to see you. So hence, after this bloke fell asleep on the first Wednesday, I'm going to get this fucking story out if it kills me, Mark.
Sorry, do I keep interrupting?
No, it's all right. It was just free flowing, isn't it? It's free flow. It's not a script. I thought I've got to do something about this. Messaged Simon Houlihan, who runs the Bracknell Comedy Cellar.
Oh, yes.
Was I saying his surname right?
You know what? I know that is his surname, but I don't know how you pronounce it because I've never actually said it to him. He's never introduced himself as Simon Houlihan to me.
No, I imagine it's Houlihan. Anyway,
just Simon. Simon,
I know
what I did,
and I just messaged him, could he send me the, you know, the vid of it?
Mm.
And I clipped it up and put it out. And so I've started my social media campaign, finally, listeners. And
it's a really good idea.
I did it, yeah. Yeah, you should get on board, mate.
You know what? I should have told you about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's not I feel like I should have told you about it repeatedly for over the last 2 years.
Or maybe it just
I can only apologise that I hadn't.
This and so I put a video at a camping, put the camping video out, and it was me doing my camping routine, at a campsite.
Yeah, brilliant.
Very clever. And that went to 1 million views in like 2 days.
Boom.
And it started off at 10,000 views. And then I just thought, it started at 0. I know this thing works. Right. And I just saw it go up. And it was like, sometimes I look at a video and go, okay, 1,000 views. All right, that's all right. And then all of a sudden I'm going, well, I need another 200,000 views and I'll get to 1 million. And it's funny how quickly you can recalibrate what is a good number, right?
Yeah.
Then it kind of got to 1 million and then Facebook does something to slow you down.
Yeah.
However, the annoying thing about that was that blew up for my personal page, not my fan page.
Wow.
So I don't think I'm going to put anything else on my personal page.
Yeah,
I'm going to stick it all on the fan page.
Good idea.
Because the Weatherspoons gag.
Yeah.
on the fans page is close to 1 million now, but it's clear what it is. It's when you get something to be talked about. Now, obviously, the
and how are you finding
joke.
How are you finding the newfound fame criticism?
Do you remember Matt Bragg heard me talk? I knocked on your door in the room, and I said, knocked on the door in Edinburgh, didn't I? I said, Mark, how do you deal with internet trolls? Because obviously, my joke is about how you send over a portion apiece in to someone. And, and this in 2015 when the app first came out, I wrote that
and
joke.
I can vouch that you, as soon as it came out, you wrote the joke.
And originally, it was for send them over a small white wine.
Yeah.
For £1.25, you will feel like Bono, right? Yeah. And it was Bethany Black. I remember it on Facebook said peas for some reason. I don't know how we got in. And so she said that. So I changed it to a portion of peas.
Yeah.
However, my God, everyone thinks they own that process of sending people stuff randomly on Wetherspoons, right?
Yeah.
So well, this you is the should thing. Have seen what people were saying to me.
But this is the
I'm as funny as piles, apparently.
You were really funny in replies. That's what you got. You've got to be funny.
I'm funny in replies and as funny as piles was one of the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what was I was but, just about to... I was flowing then, Danny.
Sorry, mate. Are you saying about replies?
So that's the thing with comedy. It's like... As a stand-up, all the people on that internet, they don't know that you've been doing comedy 13 years.
No.
They don't know that you wrote that joke as soon as the thing happened.
Mm.
Or people just assume, because they don't know you, they assume you nicked something. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But imagine nicking someone's joke and sticking it on the internet so brazenly, right? And then...
But I've had this with my jokes. My turtles joke...
Yeah,
that's been nicked
millions of times,
so many times. And if I sometimes, when I do it on stage, not very often, but people, I can see people look at each other going, "He's nicked that."
Yeah.
Or if for example, I sort of mentioned someone steered in it got so many retweets or something, and I commented about it, and people would give me stick because what they did was they went back and they found my tweet from it. Which was after other tweets with that joke on it.
Yeah.
But the trouble is, so it looks like I'd nicked it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right.
Do you see what I mean? But what you can't explain to someone in a tweet reply is when that was like number one joke of the fringe in the Mirror in like 2014 or something. And when that was in the Mirror, that's where everyone nicked it from. In those days, I didn't tweet my good jokes because I didn't want people to nick them, ironically. So when it was getting so people were nicking it and it was getting so many retweets, I then tweeted it myself thinking, well, I need to get some of this action so people know it's me. But now if people just look up my tweet, they'll think I've nicked it off other people. But if you actually go all the way back to the Mirror's article on Twitter, you can see it's the first time anyone had done it.
It is funny because it angers people. For some reason,
really does
in differently to how the camping sketch has got no hate anywhere because it doesn't. It's not the same thing if you're doing a sketch at a campsite about camping.
Also,
if you're doing the routine on stage, that seems to trigger people to really give you shit.
But also, the Wetherspoons joke is one specific joke. It's all built around that one idea.
Yeah.
Whereas your camping bit has got loads of ideas, and it's a general. This is camping. Yeah. So,
and also the punchline to my Wetherspoons bit is for 60 pence, you will feel like fucking Bono.
Yeah.
So someone put, where's the laugh meant to be? And I wrote this big long essay to him replying, right, explaining, well, I'd hope it would be here. But that's the thing about comedy, it is subjective. And maybe, you know, it's just, I just wrote this, I just went on and on and on and on. And then at the end, I said, anyway, what table are you sat at? What they don't know is I've got loads of time on my hands. Another spot, someone else said, you've misspelt Wetherspoons for starters. And on the captions, at one point, it's spelled weather, like weather the weather. And,
So you haven't even nicked the spelling, mate.
No. And I was going to say, well, you sound like a right beach. But
Didn't
do that in the end. Yeah. I didn't do that in the end, Mark. Be the bigger guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's an interesting... I'm now on my journey. I'm now on my journey. So
social media journey.
Find some... just need to keep clipping stuff up.
Yeah.
So hopefully next year, you know, I'll be playing to people who don't fall asleep.
Or more people asleep.
Yeah. Well, if all give me... Listen, actually, for the avoidance of any doubt, if anyone who wants to come to watch me next year fall asleep and pay me a tenner, I'll take that.
Would you?
Yeah, because that even in a 40-seater room, that's £400 a day.
Yeah.
Why not just come in and have a kip?
Yeah, why not? Like a comfy
like
seats.
A flop house.
Advertise it like that.
Yeah, like there's no comedy.
Maybe that could be what your show is. Yeah.
Come in.
I can, have
we
a
can,
nap.
We can, yeah, come in. A, we can put a video on, an episode of The Office. You yeah. know, whatever you want.
Beautiful.
Should we talk about the Ed Byrne show?
Oh, yeah.
So I had two tickets for Ed Byrne, and he was one of the assembly rooms. me and Laura were going to go. And just sitting there, there's a beautiful, it's called a jingle bus, isn't it, down at the Assembly Square in Edinburgh, you know, where you get the curry.
Oh, yeah.
The chicken tikka masala wraps from the jingle bus.
Yeah.
Ate one of those, just chilling, relaxing, you know, 15 minutes before the show began, just casually went to go to the Ed Byrne gig, look at Google Maps. Obviously, the other thing in Edinburgh, no 5G for love nor money, right? So it took ages to load it up. And then we realised I was in the wrong part of town and it was the assembly rooms.
Miles away.
In Newtown, like 25-minute walk away. So had to write that off. That was two tickets. And then I rebooked to see it with you and Charlie.
Yeah, so Charlie and I booked our tickets separately.
Yeah, to book your tickets separately. So when I was walking to the gig that time, I then realised I'd actually bought two tickets for that day.
I don't know you did that.
So in the end, I spent £85 to go and see Ed Byrne's show. And then...
you walked in, you went, like, this better be worth £85.
And then, it bloody was, wasn't it?
Ah, it's phenomenal.
It bloody was.
And one of the best hours of comedy I've seen.
And on the way out, we saw Ed Byrne, didn't we? And told him I spent £80 on his shows, and we had a quick drink with him afterwards. Yeah. And that was on the night of the Dave party that no one decided that, you know, to invite us to, because obviously, you know, running a mixed bill show with four acts on every day for 23 days isn't tiring, and there's no reason why we would deserve a night off, as it is billed, to go to the Dave party to enjoy time with your friends, eating and drinking and relaxing. There's no reason, you know, why would we need to go to that so it was better than what
I actually did get an invite.
What?
for
the Dave party.
Yeah.
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Remember, everyone,
be more Gareth.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.